the T3 podcast in association with the Sony Ericsson Xperia X10 with Timescape. See your calls, texts, emails, tweets, and updates all together on one screen. See it in store or visit sonyericsson.com/X10. Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast now with 18% less pod and 33% more cast. Coming up on this week's show, let the games news begin. There's plenty of it, including more console price cuts on the way, and EA readies its Move and Natal launches ahead of next month's E3 Expo. Another i4 phone's broken cover in Vietnam, and Steve Jobs has a go at penny-pinching Brits. Plus, the ever-sexy Sony Vaio P has had a refit. And as ash clouds cause chaos, BA cabin crew go on strike, what will the future of air travel look like? Who knows? Well, hopefully these two. They are the inimitable Luke Peters and Mr. T3 himself, Duncan Bell, everybody. Welcome.
Hello. That was a good intro. Great effort.
Do you like we're sounding so much more professional these days?
We're sounding audible and everybody's at the same volume level. Yeah. People also, you said i4 phone.
i4 phone.
And then you said what sounded very much to me like ass clouds.
Look.
But that was good.
Yes.
The advert was good as well. You're very professional at those. I like that.
Well, you know, we're suddenly people want to be associated with us.
I know. Oh. Did you hear the original version of that advert?
Yeah, I did.
It was our marketing manager.
I liked that.
I thought he didn't bring quite the same pizzazz to the presentation as you did. It was like one of those late night meet girls in your area phone line type deliveries. It was more like there are girls in your area wanting to talk to you.
Maybe there's a career for him there. Mm. Maybe you should hook up with your guy who does the jingles for that.
Yes, maybe. Mm. Well, he's a good-looking lad, Luke. I'm sure he'd be popular in the underground gay scene.
Who knows?
He's married with a baby, I should point out.
Maybe. And that's not me, Luke. That's another
Luke. It's a different Luke.
Yeah, gay Luke. Duncan, a prime minister's fallen, a coalition government formed for the first time in decades, and a Liberal Democrat is also deputy prime minister.
You still can't say it without laughing.
I know. All of which, no doubt, pales into insignificance compared to the week you've had.
No, I've got something positive to say this week.
Oh.
Yes, because, I thought it was great. This week, what online media, you know, proper mainstream media is great at is reacting to things as they develop. In fact, much, much better than 24-hour rolling news.
Yeah.
Where people have nervous breakdowns and start squawking at Alistair Campbell.
Oh my God!
Like
Sky,
they're a mentor.
Sky, not a good week for Sky News.
I think they wanted to nuke.
Yeah, possibly.
Gordon Brown's house for a start.
Sack Kate Burley and all that.
Yeah, yeah. So,
that was the top trending topic on Twitter.
Well, that was very good. Excellent alliteration. You managed to say that without fluffing it. Yeah, no, everyone's a critic, aren't they? It was like, Kay Burley, sack Kay Burley. Kay Burley's a heap of. Wasn't it? I think somebody was saying.
Well, it was because she dissed.
That's not my opinion. That's the people talking.
It's because she dissed Chapter 38, and they're an organised bunch, let me tell you.
Right.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with them.
No, well, she did make Peter Andre cry that time as well, didn't she? So she's not maybe the most. I think anyone can make Peter Andre cry. Yeah.
Wasn't it Sky News that got the scoop on that, on Brown leaving his mic on as well? Was it them?
Well,
it was their mic. But it was quite an easy scoop, that one.
No, I thought it was fantastic that all the websites, you know, the main, like new, like the BBC, the Guardian, the Telegraph, the Times, all the ones that I look at, all kind of revamped their sites specifically to take into account that there was this ridiculous
seismic
unfurling
shit.
Sort of events going on. They all became much better as a result. There was, you know, it was like proper coverage. I mean, the problem with it is that what you get in immediacy and knowing what's going on, you kind of lose in terms of context because everybody, just as you are, it happens so fast, everybody's just reacting rather than having a point of view as such. But I thought it was fantastic. It was like the web's finest hour in terms of news.
A good week all round for news fans.
Yeah.
I think. If you like your news, it was a good one.
Shifting for, you know, I'd read the Telegraph for a bit until I got fed up with their kind of rabid right-wing sort of views, and then I'd like look at the BBC or the Guardian site for a bit until I got bored of their kind of very left-wing point of view, and it's just, you just swing between these constantly being updated unprecedented times, the outcome eventually quite boring. Two quite boring posh men
around
the country.
I think the aftermath has been far more exciting than the election night. as it absolutely.
Yeah. But even but then, to be fair, the BBC's coverage on election night I thought was really good as well. You know, it was as, they made it as interesting as it could be, considering it was in many ways quite a dull series of events.
But with all you know, the Twitter feeds that you're signed up to and stuff, with all those, it just gives you a wider spread of getting the news, what news you want, rather than being told the news.
That... Well, that's true. But I thought the kind of broadsheets and the BBC did really well was to integrate that into their own sort of wealth of, well, also you know, found kind of writers. Well, Norman Tebbit seemed to be bloody everywhere. Norman Tebbit was blogging. Like, for how old's he? Like 100? And he was like, he was on the Guardian site somehow. Whoever thought you'd see Norman Tebbit blogging on the Guardian? And then he'd be on the Telegraph 5 minutes later. Crazy times, I tell you.
Yeah, Twitter, though, one thing I've realised is that the world is populated by morons, I've realised.
Only just realised.
Yeah, yeah, just some of the comments on Twitter. Anyway,
No, but that's the thing. That was what I thought was really good, because, I like the democracy of the fact that any idiot, no matter how retarded, brain-dead, bigoted, or basically stupid, can have their say on, you know, on Twitter or on whatever... But what I thought was great was the fact that you also had people who maybe had an inkling, you know, about what the hell they were talking about, and were able to put breaking news into some kind of context.
Yes.
Whilst, like, events were unfolding very, very fast that nobody had seen before. It's kind of like in war. In war, war is a terrible thing, but war leads to great advances in science, medicine...
And also thoroughly exciting to watch.
And this was a bit like that. You know, like, you know, the aftermath of the election was a bit like a war, and we got some slightly better websites out of it.
And YouTube videos, yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, go and see Alistair Campbell winding up Adam Bolton to the point where his head explodes on YouTube immediately. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And the Kay Burley Chapter 38 interview, very, very good. I haven't seen a decent downfall yet, and there must be a good one of Gordon Brown. surely
or so, Adam Bolton.
If you have already, if you found a good downfall,
stop telling me what I think
if you found a good downfall, please tweet us T3DOTCOM. I need to see that. Anyway, on to our top story, or rather crop of stories I should say, because there's been plenty of goings on in the world of gaming, of course all hotting up in advance of E3 next month. First up, PS3 and Xbox 360 set for price cut. This according to a senior global publishing source.
Well, they ought to know.
Sounds shady.
No, but it's... Well,
we're a senior global publishing source.
Yeah, it's probably just us, isn't it?
In my opinion, we're due a price cut. So, yeah.
Well, word is sub £200 for a PS3, albeit with a smaller hard drive.
Yeah, fantastic. Mm.
Which is what they did with the old one as well, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean,
because their pricing at the moment is a little odd. Because I don't know what their official pricing is, because I never know what RRPs are. But at the moment, you can pick up the 120 gig model for about £250, and you can pick up the 250 gig model for about £270. So it's like, so I'm assuming nobody is buying the 120 gig model.
Why would you do this?
And they've got loads to shift. Yeah.
So if they did, so if they brought out one with like a 60 gig hard drive for £200. People should snap that up.
Yeah, man. Apparently this is so that Move and Natal can be bundled with new consoles at a reasonable price.
Without them being frighteningly expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that
exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But we're still going to be looking. What's a reasonable price for a brand new console with Move? I mean, it's going to be £400, right?
With Move, if you've got a £200 PS3, you should, in theory, get a £300 bundle, because they're talking about a £100 price point, aren't they, for the controller, camera, and a game. So
I think people are quite psyched about Natal and Move, but not to the point where they're going to pay through the nose for it.
Yeah, so a £299.
I have to keep the prices
down. £299 bundle, that would be sound about right, I think, for Move.
For games and...
PS3 and Move.
I think it'd be less than that.
Does the camera come with that bundle?
That bundle would include the camera. The upshot... Of course.
Well, we don't know, do we?
Sony have said in the States you will get a controller, the camera, and a game for under $100. So translation is under £100, isn't it? You know, even though you know $100 is nothing like $100.
And they're both going to be launched around about the same.
Not far off these days.
And they're both going to be launched around about the same time. So there's going to be a little bit of a price war with the Natal and
there is. Yeah,
October and September.
Yeah, well, this was a Microsoft executive has said October.
Because originally they were saying Christmas. Well, they were saying by the end of the year, which I
took
to mean
Christmas. Yes, so exactly. So if it is October, and it's not official, it's just a kind of someone in Microsoft has said this.
Totally logical, because if Sony are kind of nailing themselves to September,
well, they haven't. They've said autumn.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Have you
got an update on this?
A source close to has hinted at September.
September. Mm. Well, that would certainly fit with autumn. So, yeah.
September is certainly in autumn. Yeah, we are. Well done. Yeah.
Fall.
I know my seasons. the upshot of all this, though, is, of course, the Wii. It's going to have to come down in price, isn't it? Because if you can get a...
Come down in price even more,
A PS3 with Move or an Xbox 360 with Natal, you're going to look at a Wii and go...
A Wii, four controllers, all the bits, the finger pulse reader that's coming out, all those
if
things.
If it ever actually comes out.
For £100.
Well, I don't know, because I wouldn't take it as read that was going to happen. Because, like, Nintendo... Ooh, I do apologise. Nintendo don't... They've set themselves outside of what Sony and Microsoft do.
Well, different markets, sort of thing.
Well, they could. Their most recent thing is they see the iPhone as their main competitor.
Mm.
Like one of their high ups. It might even been Miyamoto, the one that anybody's heard of, said that is the enemy.
I'm not sure.
And Microsoft and Sony aren't even seen as being in the same game, which they aren't. No, I think that's absolutely right.
Mm, you reckon?
Yeah, okay. I don't think there's any. Okay. There's been no. Comparison between that's the mistake that people have made all the way along is that somehow Nintendo are in direct competition with PS3 and Microsoft. And they've just gone off and done their own thing, made lots more money, and been lots less expensive.
Yes,
not making a value call on whether the console is any better, but you can't deny the Wii has sold much better and made much more money.
This is true.
And appeal to a wider audience.
Back to Move and Natal, EA has said it's going to be heading to E3. With plenty of games. It's already announced Tiger Woods for Sony Move, and it said week...
Tiger Woods Shagathon 2011.
Way! We have more announcements at E3, inclusive of demos and some of this technology. We're bullish on these new controllers. So EA getting excited about it, at least. And that's good, because, you know, with EA comes just about... Well, any title that involves movement, EA's involved.
Well, Sony was saying that it's... I think what the... I don't know about Natal, but with the Move thing, Sony are saying it's very, very easy to incorporate the Move as a controller. You don't have to go back and recode games. You can just... It can work basically in the same way as... Well, not in the same way as a six-axis, but it can be used instead of a six-axis.
Mm.
I can't see why... Yeah,
but
it wouldn't
that,
be
but if that's,
about it because,
I mean, yeah, that doesn't... To me, though, that doesn't bode well for the first crop of Move games, because if it's just a case of, we've just sort of ported them across...
No, they'll be optimised. The first wave will be optimised games for Sony Move, which are noticeably different. Yeah. I mean, they'll feel noticeably different.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want something that totally changes the way you play,
But the nature of the controller will do that. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still moving left
and
right,
but
going backwards and forwards and shooting at things, say, for instance...
But what I've enjoyed about the Wii and the DS in some way is some of the clever ways that the technology has been used, you know, taking you past just the normal way you would play a game, and that's what I'm hoping for from Natal and Move. You know,
I think we'll see more of that. I think it's the nature of the controller makes that an inevitability rather than people have to work at it.
Yeah,
okay. And obviously there's optimization, yes, but it's not. I don't think it's maybe that as difficult as it could
be. I think the one trump card that Sony could have out of all this is that. You could see PS3 3D update by that point as well. And when you get the 3D...
That's supposed to be July, isn't it? It's supposed to be selling 3D games by July.
Yeah, so in September, you could essentially have Sony Move with 3D gaming. And that
The thing is, although 3D TVs are eye-wateringly expensive, 3D monitors, not ridiculous, are they? So you could hook up to a monitor.
Well, I reckon by autumn they won't be eye-wateringly expensive.
You think?
£2,000 is pretty much the cheapest you can get at the moment for a 3D TV.
Yeah.
But these are all almost pre-released. Is there anything actually on the shelves yet? And everybody knows that obviously the RRPs on TVs
What I was being told is about £1,500 will be about the bottom you can expect to pay for
entry level.
First generation.
But within 6
TV.
Months, like Richer Sounds will have them for, you know, probably half that.
We'll see.
I think.
Yeah. 3D Christmas.
Yeah, well, on the gaming front, I mean, we will, as we said, be seeing all this at E3 next month. That's when we're also expecting a lot more on Nintendo's 3DS, which neatly marries 3D gaming with Nintendo. Which we've heard this week will definitely be for casual gamers. Yeah. Sticking with your theme, I guess, on Nintendo there.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, I think... yeah. I'm not massively excited about Nintendo 3DS. I was going to ask, it's...
are you excited about this?
No. But the DS remains a good thing, and yeah. this is like another quite funny, quirky, semi-cool gimmick bolted on top of it. Fine, you know. It's not a bad thing. No. That's what I'm saying.
Semi-cool gimmick. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, it always sounds worse coming from me. But,
you know. All right, then. Well, E3 runs from the 15th to the 17th of June. There'll be an awful lot to cover then. But for now, let me say, here is the news. So now we know the iPad will cost from £429 when it hits the UK, and that's without 3G. Cue multiple complaints from hard done by Brits. Steve Jobs, ever the diplomat, tells one to educate himself.
And that's not the only bother for Apple this week. After being sued by the US giant, HTC's counterclaimed, saying Apple's infringed a load of its copyrights. Remember, the lawyers are the only winners.
Indeed. Sticking with the Apple woes theme, it's lost another iPhone 4, this time in Vietnam. Website Thai Viet, possibly, has posted a shedload of pics of one it got hold of, showing some slight updates.
One bit of good news for Mr. Jobs, though. The iPad is completely sold out in the UK, despite all that pricing bother. So those who have already pre-ordered will get one on the 28th of May. For the rest, new batches won't be arriving until the 7th of June.
Too long to wait. And if you don't fancy spending your pennies on an iPad, how about another overpriced portable, the Sony Vaio P? It's just had an update with built-in GPS and looking as sexy as ever.
Yeah, digital compass and accelerometer are also squeezed into a tiny chassis that weighs just 600 grams. It's available in green, pink, orange, black or white from June. Just don't expect much change from 850 notes.
No, don't. That was the RRP of the last one. We still don't know how much this one's going to be.
Oh, I think they start at about 800 and go up to 1,000 and something.
Yeah, something obscene.
Although it does now have a little tiny touchpad thing to the right of the screen.
And buttons
to
the left.
A big improvement.
Yeah.
And buttons to the left.
So you can hold it up and use it, supposedly, in front of you, on the tube,
yeah,
on the train.
I know, I read that. Well, I read it in T3, in fact, and I thought, well, that's quite cool. And then I actually physically tried to picture how I might do that, and then I thought... oh, actually, that's quite shit. but I'm reserving judgment.
Yeah. When we did our...
I think the fact there's still a nipple in the middle pretty much says it all as to how good that is as a means of control. Yeah. But
when we did our special at Terminal 5 at Heathrow, which you missed out on.
Our special.
It was a special. We had to go through security and everything. We managed to get one dirt cheap because there was a cashback offer.
Yeah, I remember.
And then PC World, have their duty-free shop there. And basically, it just worked out at about 400 and something quid. It was a bargain.
I know. So but, perhaps not quite the runaway success Sony were expecting, but then now here's a new one. So I guess
here's a new one.
You've got to admire their equally, sticking power.
Equally eye-watching. That is very nice.
It's not often I say this, but I did feel... I think I've probably said this before, but I did feel a bit sympathetic towards Steve Jobs when the thing about the pricing.
Well, no, because what he said was... He said go educate yourself because... first of all, he said
The UK,
sales tax, by which he means VAT. First of all, he said it was 18%. It's not 17.5%. But then, if you do...
Oh, how dare he not know the exact specifics of our taxation system in this country? What's the level of income tax in America, Dan?
Well,
what's the entry level?
Look, I don't.
Dan doesn't control money.
Yeah,
Steve Jobs does.
I don't sell my wares globally. Anyway,
yeah, you do.
Yeah, he said, you know, so look, you know, you've got sales tax included in the UK. All right, take off the sales tax. It's still more expensive than the US once you've done the exchange rate. It works out about 50 quid
difference. I know. I'm not defending that.
26.
26.
£26. Pounds. But that's the official Apple...
But remember, I don't want to sound like some sort of neocon liberal economist.
You're going to.
Tebbit-esque on your bike figure. But the fact is that companies have the right to charge what they want for products.
No, they do. It's true.
And I don't understand why consumers in this country have got into their heads that it's like fair or unfair.
No.
It's like you can either buy it or you can not buy it.
Yeah,
that's the choice that you as a consumer make. If you think it's too expensive,
it's supply and demand.
Don't buy it.
It's supply and demand, and Apple will set their price where they think they can make the most profit.
I mean, they've just sold the whole lot. So nobody can realistically turn around and say, well, it's overpriced. Because it obviously isn't. The whole lot have sold out.
So what he should have said is not go educate yourself, there's sales tax included. You should have go and get yourself an economics degree.
Yeah,
and
supply
learn
and demand.
About supply and demand and maximising profits.
Go and read some books by Milton Friedman or something and take a degree course in economics.
That's what he should have said. Anyway, it's time to see what you have been tweeting to T3DOTCOM, Hughes Duncan's regular shuffle for his papers. What have you got, Duncan?
Well, I've got... Oh, right, I see. Yes, Magic Turbo says, why is Duncan three times louder than anyone else in podcast 128? Apart from that, good podcast. I think that's a typo. He means because of that, good podcast.
Well, Magic Turbo, it's because Duncan insisted on being louder than everybody else because in his cans, which I think I can probably say, in his head, he thought he was quieter.
Oh, come on. No, we agreed that I was barely audible. So we were turning it up and turning it up. Yeah, and apparently it wasn't recording in the way that we were hearing it.
Basically, we had a few issues. Our regular engineer was not here.
Yeah, Liam bunking off.
Who ensures, you know, that you get your podcast in high fidelity.
Pristine sound quality.
He wasn't here, and so it did go a little bit wrong.
It
just
went tits up, basically. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
The whole thing pulls apart as soon as Liam's not here.
Basically.
That's the fact of the matter.
Anyway, Luke, what have you got?
I've got an update from Brad Short.
Ah, Brad Short.
Oh, good old Brad Short. FYI, RE The Last Podcast, I'm now over my peculiar fascination with the HTC Desire's tinny speaker. Will cease my bus bothering
Well,
ways.
I'm glad to hear that, you know, because I was worried, you know, that he'd be on the bus, you know, at the back of the bus with his loudspeaker, you know, that's good. That's one fewer bus bothering...
Exactly.
Person. I was going to say chav, but I don't think he is a chav, so I'll reserve that.
Anyway. He's only a little fellow, you know, so you don't want to... My concern is he might upset somebody from the top of the bus posse who might, you know...
Play the wrong music.
Shank him. He might get shanked. If they say that wherever he lives, I don't know.
Yeah. Mickey X.
Wiltshire.
Well, that's lamb shanked in Wiltshire. It's
beaten to death with combine harvester.
Getting onto the iPad shenanigans. Mickey X, are any networks planning on subsidised iPads similar to how they sell laptops now? I don't think they are they? Because they've all come out with their price plans and they're just like for... You
they're
know,
100% controlled by Apple. Apple tell them what to sell it at and then they tell them what pricing plan they...
That's it.
They
so they've come out because they're no contract, you know, 30-day notice sort of things, aren't they? And there's no subsidy in there whatsoever.
Yeah. No, not
and
at all.
Are they even selling them? Because on O2, when I went on there... They just link to the Apple site to buy.
I think it may be the case
thing.
That Apple, you have to go to Apple to buy an iPad, and then you go to a supplier to buy.
Yeah, and whack in
your bundle,
your SIM,
add-on,
mini micro SIM. What's that about?
There's various things online about how to. Yeah. Well, we actually said this almost as a joke when the first time we talked about it. There's various things guides online to turning your SIM if you've already got an unlimited data SIM. Into a micro SIM.
That's
and it looks quite hard to me, to be honest. But
you can't just take a nail file to it and...
Well, you can, but you also have to cut notches into the edge and it's
a weekend job.
It's beyond me, I think.
Okay.
But somebody less cack-handed than me, if they'd like to give it a try.
And also on the iPad...
Sorry if you weren't egos.
also on the iPad, Brad Ells. Steve Jobs tells Brits to educate himself. What a prick! so that puts that one to bed. There we are.
I don't necessarily agree with the sentiment, but it's beautifully put.
It was
to the point.
Yeah, a lot more than you were, Duncan, anyway. Right then, Luke. What have you got for your gadget of the week?
Well, one of the benefits of Rob being stuck in Japan, our features editor, for almost 2 weeks...
Is he still there?
Yeah, no, he's back now.
Oh, right.
But he is really good at kung fu.
Yeah. was that he, Sony gave him, showed him, adorned him with a load of gadgets, including the new Sony HD Bloggy.
The Bloggy. Yeah.
Which is a flip-esque type.
You didn't need to go to Japan for that.
Couldn't put it better myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw one of these at the Gadget Show Live. There you are.
But he also got the new P series that we've seen in the magazine. Okay. So there, Dan.
All right.
We are on top of the game.
You ain't seen that.
Fair dues.
So it's called the Bloggy.
They're quite nice, these.
It's like a flip, like those. But it's got a sort of 360 degree rotatable lens on the top. it's a device essentially for capturing YouTube videos.
Yeah, it's
chucking on. I like those flip things.
Yeah,
it's got full HD shooting.
Should be called the Vloggy, I suppose. Does anybody still say vlog?
No, I think that's the point.
Never really caught on, did it?
No.
Is this the one that has optical zoom?
There are two models, one at about 180, one at about 150.
Yeah.
I believe the higher end one does.
Because that's great. That's what these things need, you know. Mm. It's all well and good having full HD in your pocket, but if you can't zoom, it's a bit rubbish.
But it does have like 30.
Well, you got legs, haven't you? Move nearer to it.
It's got a 5-megapixel still camera. It's got 30 frames per second video capture. It's a nice looking device.
It's only a beautiful looking thing. I was going to say
it's a typical Sony little thing, and you know if all
it's
you
like the orange one they put out about 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah,
but like that was like almost like the sort of test run for this, I guess.
Yeah,
this is like a nicer looking. Plusher version.
Okay, so 150, 180, it's a bit expensive, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, again, you're paying a little bit more for Sony, but it's a well-engineered, good industrial design, and if you do upload a lot of vid to... it'd be good, I think when we'll see these things become really popular is when Twitter 2.0 lands and you'll be able to upload video to that, which would be an interesting...
Vwittering, presumably, that'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Vloggerittering.
How far off is that, then?
Twitter 2.0? Well, we started writing about it about 3 years ago, but it still hasn't.
We're still waiting for reality to catch up with our. Yeah.
Good.
In the future, Dan.
Some point, yeah.
Check our future tech issue in the future.
Okay.
That's a good link because in about 3 weeks' time, the new issue of T3 will be out, and it is the future issue. Uh-huh. I wouldn't normally say that, but.
Now, I said you two might hopefully know about the future of air travel, but we've got someone here. Who really does? So let's wheel in Mr. Adam Bunker, who's seen the future, and it's business class to New York for free.
He's not in a wheelchair, by the way.
No,
immediately conjured up a mental image of us literally pushing him.
Looking down, he's not even on a wheelchair.
A Hannibal Lecter style like ball.
So what you got bunged on a business class flight to New York?
I wouldn't describe it as being bunged. It was a pretty nice experience.
Was it?
It was work. It was bloody work.
Right. What was all this for?
BA have got a service that they've been running since I think June last year, but it's basically a service where you got Wi-Fi, so 3G on your phone on the plane.
Did it work?
Yeah, it was fine. It was just you turn data roaming on your phone, and then it's just like if you're abroad, it picks it up as a different network. It's called On Air.
Is it only on your phone, or if you've got a netbook or whatever?
You can use it on a laptop if you've got a GSM card, but none of us did, so we just tried it on the phone. But yeah,
it'd work with a dongle, wouldn't it? Or would it?
Would it work with a dongle?
I don't think so. Oh, okay. I think it has to be literally like a phone card.
It probably wouldn't work with a 3G dongle because they'd be tied to Three or Vodafone or whatever. And this is kind of
it's totally
different network.
It's a network called On Air that I think just deals with like planes.
Yeah,
and
so you'd have to have an unlocked 3G dongle. So
also, is it data only? Can you make phone calls?
You can text. You can do everything you can on a phone, but they don't want you to make phone calls.
Ah, very wise.
And they say
because that was what I was going to say is.
But they say that's the result of like a passenger survey.
Yeah,
well, it's bloody the
passionate passenger rebellion on the first flight where they had
the customers phone don't calls. Want people making phone calls, especially as there's been some kind of like research apparently in that because there's loads of background noise on the plane, people speak louder anyway, so everyone should be shouting. Mm.
And does it work up to a certain point, like feet? Is it up to the first 12,000 feet, or does it work the whole journey?
Don't your feet work after a while? Sorry.
It's all right. We'll cut that bit out in the edit.
after I think it's 10,000 feet, they're like, no phones.
No texting sign comes on.
Boom! No. you can turn your phone on like after the whole like takeoff procedure. And then it works for the entire time until the same times like the seatbelt things come back on you.
Okay. So what is it actually useful for?
if you desperately need to be tweeting or desperately need to be checking emails mid-flight
a top executive.
Yeah, you don't want to be out of contact for 7 hours, do you? Which is what it takes to get to New York.
So that was my question.
It's pretty good.
It only works to 10,000 feet. Applying it to 10,000 feet in about 3 minutes.
No. You can't use it in the first 10,000 feet.
Whilst it's after 10,000 feet.
Okay. So that makes sense.
The takeoff and landing, you can't use it. Everything for the rest of the flight is fine. But of the data
You ever don't let you do anything on takeoff and landing. So that,
no, exactly.
That's
fine. No, exactly. It's fine.
Okay. So that was what set us on this vein of the future of air travel. So what is the future of air travel? Is it all Sydney in half an hour and zero emission rocket ships?
Well,
as I've been promised.
I promised nothing.
Has T3 promised you that?
No.
Four years ago.
Yeah, James Woolman's futurology.
Quite possibly.
Well, I was looking into it. The best thing I saw was this plane that's got about seven names. It's called the Lap the Lapcat, the A2, and also it's nicknamed the Son of Concorde.
Son of Concorde. You know, Concorde didn't go so well in the end, did it?
Well, come on, unblemished flight record for
and then
20 years,
kill hundreds of people.
One unfortunate incident.
Catching on fire.
Well, someone left a shoe on the track.
What?
Or whatever it was.
It was the tire. Break and fly up into the wing, I think, was the problem.
But I think it hit something on rupturing a piece of debris
rupturing the fuel tanks.
Well, I'm sure you'll be reassured to
Let's
know
not
this
dwell on,
on these things.
I'm sure you'll be happy to know this new one goes at twice the speed of that one.
So twice the speed. Is it predictably huge?
Yeah.
And do the artist's impressions include things like swimming pools and, you know, horse jumping show rings and things?
Well, it looks...
Yeah, is there a dressage area on this new supposed super plane?
And just a G&T bar.
It's got support for wing walkers.
Can you imagine that? It's, Mac 8 wing walking. Oh, it's a bit breezy.
It's pretty long. It's 139 metres, apparently, which is half the length of the Titanic. So I'm led to believe, but it just
another
just
like, thing.
A bad
again.
Point of comparison. Yeah. If you don't mind me saying so, but
what gets me about all these things? Is, as I say,
it can't fail.
Yeah, the artist's impressions always show. You know, people like in, I don't know, cocktail dresses and things like this. But
yeah, eating bloody swan.
The reality is that the airlines go, hey, we've got all this space. It's like, hey, we can cram on more seats. Brilliant.
Yeah, of course. Well, where are the first super jumbos sold? In China for internal flights and for flights in that region. I don't think there's too much swan eating and dressage going on.
They took that A380, which you look at some of the Emirates Air, and they've made classes above first class. They've made suites class.
But Virgin took out their... They were going to have all sorts.
But what China have done, they've got the A380 and just packed it full of economy. So you've got 1,000 people on one plane.
Wow. Yeah, not even any seats.
This plane that you're talking about, you showed me a design yesterday. It's got no windows.
It's got no windows.
It's like a missile.
Oh, that's crazy. I want my window seat.
This will mean like naffle to the people listening, but there's a picture of it.
Okay, well, yeah, that looks like a big. That looks like an exocet.
It's
something.
Just a big tube with wings attached. It is. It's got no windows.
This is classic radio.
I think I gave that.
Take
a
look at that picture.
A very thorough description.
Imagine.
Although when they're talking about no windows, but you could have the illusion of a window because you'd have a sort of a screen projecting what you would be seeing out the window. So
that would be quite
little
futuristic.
Cameras all along the sides.
But it can get from the London to Australia in what, 4 hours?
Yeah, 4 hours. Oh, it's 3,400 miles an hour.
You don't even need windows.
Yeah,
you're almost there.
You blink and you miss it.
Yeah,
I think if you start strapping cameras, there's something going that fast.
It takes 4 hours to get to Tenerife, so we're going to be having like little, you know,
weekend jaunts to Melbourne.
Some people commute for 4 hours.
With the collapse of the European tourists.
In fact, a friend of mine is commuting from London to the Bahamas twice a month.
Well, that's not really what I'd call commuting, but yeah.
Well, he spends 2 weeks here and then 2 weeks there, and he commutes between.
That's a holiday.
Does it take 15 days to get there?
So we could all get a job on T3 Australia.
Yes.
If for some reason we wanted to.
Yeah. I could do the podcast there as well. Probably wouldn't actually need to travel to Australia to do the podcast.
That is a very sound point, Dan. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, the future of air travel. There's plenty of it on T3.com, isn't there?
Yes.
As well as flying missiles and things like that. Space, incidentally, just lastly on this.
Space, incidentally, remains outside the Earth's atmosphere.
It does. Space travel,
from Dan.
Space travel, though. If you were thinking of going with Virgin and spending $200,000, don't.
Oh, Ryanair
don't
are doing
do it. Yeah, well, nearly. Armadillo Aerospace have just announced half-price space flights, $100,000.
Oh, cheap. Yeah.
Very cheap.
I'm going to wait for the Ryanair one.
They're also going to do 9-day space flights to the moon.
Have they got that name just so they'll be first in the yellow pages?
Possibly. No, but these
in the space travel.
These
section.
Are the guys who. These are the guys who sold them with, you know, the Russian space flights. You know, sold to wealthy business people. So they've already put people in space. Yeah. Do you know how much a 9-day trip to the moon might cost you?
Well, how on earth am I supposed to know? Well, £3 million.
Well, very good. No, 100 million.
$100 million.
$100 million. So, you know,
oh, right.
Yeah,
oh,
that's all right.
That's so fine.
Bad. Well, we'd be ripped off in the UK as well.
Yeah, right? We will. I bet you. Yeah. Blimey. Anyway. Well, that is about all we have time for this week. Remember, you can always get the latest on t3.com. T3 is on the shelves, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast. The T3 Podcast, in association with the Sony Ericsson Xperia X10 with Timescape. See your calls, texts, emails, tweets, and updates all together on one screen. See it in-store or visit sonyericsson.com/X10.